Fantasy fanatics, hockey heads, and degenerate gamblers alike, welcome back to your show. It is the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast. Alongside my esteemed co-host, Mr. Steel Roden, it's your boy Big Flip Livingstone, back together for Tuesday's episode. A lot to get to, bets, and all kinds of fantasy talk. So let's get this paper.
You're Locked On Fantasy Hockey, your daily podcast on fantasy hockey. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is going on, everybody? And welcome back inside the lab. That is the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast. Thank you so much for making us your first listen every single day. It's been a couple days since Steele and I, the dynamic duo, have been together. I hope you haven't missed us too much, and thank you for riding with us Monday through Friday. You know where you can find us across all platforms. You get your favorite and hottest content. That's YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and a lot more. So make sure you're checking us out and smashing that subscribe button. Today's episode, my friends. It's jam-packed, and even though the news over the weekend was somewhat quiet from the NHL world, and you know how I know? Because on the top list of headlines on NHL.com at number three is still Justin Bieber liking the reverse retros from the Sharks. So Steele and I are going to get into something a lot more interesting for your fantasy cats out there. We're going to separate some contenders from pretenders, and obviously looking at the fantasy studs that have gone along for those teams. Big-time bets coming up. We got a big, juicy seven-game board on Tuesday night. Steele, I'm just happy to be back in the booth with you talking fantasy hockey and hopefully feeding our listeners what they need to know to make this money. And why don't we start with this pretender from contender discussion, some teams that kind of might be on the cusp of making a run this season or making a run out of the playoffs. So why don't we talk about that first, my friend? Who do you look at? I don't know where you want to start. Maybe we go one pretender, one contender each. I'm good going anywhere you'd like it. I'm just happy to be back with you.
I'm happy you're here too. And I'd really like to start with the contenders of the NHL right now in this league. So for me, the number one off the bat, and this might be there might be a lot of skepticism out there from a lot of people, but it's the Seattle Kraken for me that are true contenders this upcoming year. 13-5-3 record so far heading into the month of December as well. They're second in the Pacific Division. They're on a 5-game win streak. 8-1-1 in their last 10 games. Yep. And for me, it's not like they don't have a bona fide superstar on their team, but Andrei Burakovsky is a star. He is no doubt about it, a star in this league. 21 points in 21 games. He's taking control, a great offseason acquisition for the Seattle Kraken group, a very young group at that as well. And I like the fact that it's not just Burakovsky who's chipping in and leading the group. It's a lot of players up and down the lineup on the blue line. Jared McCann, Brandon Tanev, Vince Dunn on the blue line has been very underrated this year. Jaden Schwartz, Jordan Eberle, Martin Jones, who stepped in when Phil Grubauer was injured. The stats, the stats for him are a little bit underwhelming, not overly the best goaltender in the league, but no matter what, he's getting the job done. And Matty Beniers is the clear front runner for the Calder Trophy this season. He's got 18 points. I think they're true contenders. We said this in the preseason that, I said that they were going to be a lot better this season. I didn't expect them to be this good, though.
This is an interesting little way that you've kicked off this show, Steele, because if you're talking about Andrei Burakovsky, you are really going to like my big-time bets at the end of the show. So this is a very nice kickoff segue. But also, you might not like who I have on my pretenders list, but everything you're saying about the Seattle Kraken is correct. There is nothing to poke a hole in at this team so far. They are also, arguably, the hottest team in the NHL. So right now, it's really hard for me to put them on my contender or pretenders list, I should say. But why don't you let me explain why they are on that list when we get there? Because for now, everything you're saying, I can't even disagree with. But I'll hit you with my take on the Kraken later in the show and let you rebut what I have to say. Because what you're saying is accurate, and Matty Beniers is worth the price of admission. And if you haven't been paying attention to his fantasy value or listening to this show over the last 6 months, you're sleeping, because this is what we've been doing, highlighting these young stars that you can pounce on, Steele. One of the first players I think you told me about last year that you had your eye on for the past year or so It was Jason Robertson. And this player continues to do special things on a Dallas Stars team that I'm putting on my contenders list, Steele. And this might be a bit of a bold take, but when you look at how good this team has been this year, they're leading the league in scoring with 84 goals, tied with the Boston Bruins for top spot in the NHL. Jason Robertson is that superstar, that kind of piece that I have on my list for the Seattle Kraken not having. And what impresses me the most about the Dallas Stars, aside from this balanced offensive attack, is the goaltending tandem.
Yeah,
Blake Ottinger and Scott Wedgwood are as good or just as good as any tandem in the league, in my opinion. And that's what you need to really be a contender, Steele. So I'm going to save my takes for this show because I have a feeling we're going to need some more conversation time for this Seattle Kraken combo later in the show. But that's my first contender. The Dallas Stars continue to impress me.
Well, they're also on my list for contenders this year as well. And you and I both said that we couldn't really put our finger on it entering the season. But they're making us look real bad right now. And for me, Jason Robertson is among the elite players in the league right now. I'm talking Austin Matthews, Nathan MacKinnon.
Agreed.
That type of a level right now. Agreed. 35 points, 1 point behind Connor McDavid, who leads the NHL with 36 on the season. You hit everything on the nail there as well. Second in the league for goals at 84. And I like the fact that, you know, we talked about some bounce back players. Jamie Benn, 22 points. Tyler Seguin, Mason Marchman. Mm-hmm. It's getting done. That's why we couldn't really put our finger on it, is because we weren't sure about how the rest of the forward group was going to help out that top line of Hintz, Robertson, and Pavelski.
Yep.
But now that they're getting it done and they've got a great blue line in front of, a great blue line in front of that tandem, like you said, this is a legit team, and they're going to be some trouble come playoff time.
How about 15 straight games with a point for Jason Robertson? Yeah. This is some kind of special heater because Mitch Marner's on one as well, and I don't think enough people are talking about Mitch Marner because of how good Jason Robertson is right now. That's not taking away from any player who are both on impressive streaks, fantasy or otherwise. But I will leave it at this with the Dallas Stars. Let's just see what happens come bubble time because, yes, they're in first place right now, but there are going to be some really good teams on the outside looking in. Steele, speaking of really good divisions, I'm heading over to the Metro very quickly, and I thought about this one long and hard because we're talking about separating teams from contender to pretender. We're not picking teams that we're not saying go out there and bet on the Rangers because we know the Rangers are going to be in the mix. I'm taking a look at some of these teams that we didn't really expect to be either. The Pittsburgh Penguins looked awful at the start of the year. I didn't know what to do with this team. But when I look at the major pieces, they have the makeup of being a contender. And I think I've said this till I've been blue in the face. That window for winning is closing rapidly in Pittsburgh. Yeah. And I think you can see it on the face of their two most important players, aside from Tristan Jarry, and Evgeny Malkin and Sidney Crosby. To me, along with Chris Letang, those four pieces are good enough to take this team on a run, and I'm not ready to call them a pretender yet. They are still very much in the mix in the Metro. They've looked great of the last 10, and they are a contender, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, for me, I think I'm still in that place of where I don't really know where to put them. They were really tough. It was tough to watch them just about 2-3 weeks ago when they're that 7-game losing streak. I know Sidney Crosby is still amongst one of the best players in the NHL, all around players when we talk about that. But for me, they might be able to squeak into the playoffs, but even then, I'm not sure if they make a deep playoff run. I'm looking in that Metropolitan Division at the New York Islanders as a true contender, and they're making my bold prediction at the top three team.
Yep.
It is bold, but they're making me look pretty good for my bold prediction in the offseason. Ilya Sorokin is the real deal. For me, I wasn't quite sold on him, you know, selecting him in the first three rounds of the draft. But now that I'm looking back at it, it's a smart decision to pick him in the second or third round in any single draft.
Thank you.
If Matt Barzal can find any way to continue to put more pucks in the back of the net, for me, this team is going to skyrocket. But even if he can't put the puck in the net, he's going to be able to facilitate and find his teammates like he's done so amazingly so far this year. Anders Lee, bounce back season. Brock Nelson, 22 points.
Great
for me,
season.
The team's been incredible. And can't forget to mention Noah Dobson, who has 15 points as well on the blue line, leading the way for those guys.
Potentially my favorite and sneakiest fantasy piece of all the fantasy pieces on that Islander team. So thank you for mentioning Noah Dobson. go out there and take a sniff around the Noah Dobson trade bait areas. If you have some pieces that a GM who has Noah Dobson might have, that's my flip tip of the night. We're going to get to one more contender. Steele, I have one more. I think you're done with your three.
I am done with mine.
We're going to hit the pretender list as well. We're going to get to big-time bets. Steele alluded very nicely to my Andre Burakovsky angle that I know everyone's going to like at the end of the show. So stay tuned for that. I got to holler at my friends from betonline.net because today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis across all sports leagues. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. From football to basketball to soccer and esports, they have it all for you at BetOnline.net. If you love sports podcasts just like your favorite one, this one, you can find them all over at BetOnline as well, where they always have the fastest and easiest way for you to get your betting fix. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. That's BetOnline, where the game starts.
Thank you so much for making the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast your first listen every single day. For your second listen, please check out Locked On Sports Today Podcast, the biggest stories of the day, instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. And please make sure you hit the subscribe and follow button for the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast. Flip, we're going to get to the pretenders, but I do know you have one last contender so far.
Thank you very much. And I want to hit you with my take on this. And let's start here. When I looked at every single division doing the research for this show, Steele, I got hung up in the Metro Division. There are a lot of teams that I like in this Metro Division to be a legitimate contender. If I'm picking a division and I'm just throwing a bet out there and I just have to pick a Stanley Cup winner, I'm going with the Metro because I'm fine with the Islanders. I'm even fine with the Penguins, and I'm definitely fine with the Islanders and Devils. And this might be a cop-out for you, but my third team, I was on the fence between the Islanders and Devils. I wanted to talk about both. So since you talked about the Islanders, I'm just going to quickly mention the Devils as a team that I really do think is a contender. And it's a bold take because they've come a long way in only one season. Is it sustainable? Is Vitek Vanecek really a Stanley Cup goaltender? I don't know. Those are big question marks. But when I look at this lineup, the balanced attack that they're able to throw out there is impressive. And I know there's some major caveats here with this team. I think I mentioned them in this quick turnaround, the goaltending and the health. Can Jack Hughes stay healthy? Can Nico Hischier stay healthy and produce? If they can, Steele, I don't think there's a single team in the Metro or the Atlantic that wants to take this Jersey team on first round. They have a lot of young talent. They're confident. And the biggest strength, in my opinion, is their ability to roll at least two elite lines, if not a third effective line right now, McLeod, Wood, and Zetterlin, getting it done as well. Give me this New Jersey team to continue to make some noise, Steele, because I also think before this season started, Mackenzie Blackwood would have been my pick to be the goalie in the crease here. So they're getting it done with Vitek Vanecek. Let's see what happens when Blackwood becomes healthy. Let's see what happens when they get Andre Palat back. If that happens, I think this team is built for a cup run and definitely a contender in that East.
I think that's a good transition to my first pretender because it's the New Jersey Devils for me.
Here we go.
They've been on an absolute heater the first 2 months of the season, 18-4-0 record so far this season. Absolutely phenomenal to see. But for me, this team is just too young to make a deep playoff run. There's no question that they're going to be in the playoffs, but they don't have the experience overall. Yes, I know Andre Palat, once he does come back into the lineup, has that playoff experience. But Jack Hughes, Nico Hischier, Dawson Mercer, Fabian Zetterlin, all those young guys that we just listed off, they don't have that experience yet. And I'm thinking, to me, it's going to be very overwhelming in that first round, whoever they go up against. And I think a lot of teams would actually love to play this team because of how young and inexperienced they are. So for me, the New Jersey Devils are my first pretender.
I like those takes. Do I think they're 100% spot on? No, I do not, especially when you take a look at some of the teams that have made deep cup runs over the last couple of years. Montreal Canadiens, little bit spotty. Any team with a heater going into this offseason or into the playoffs has a look. You're right. This is an early season streak. Can they carry that over? Big question mark, Steele. But for now, this team is definitely looking like a contender. Although I hear your points. Why don't you hit me with your take on this my first pretender. I think you're going to like it because until they get some goaltending and even a shred of defense, the Edmonton Oilers continue to be pretenders, in my opinion. And I've come on this podcast and I've been very high on the ability of the Edmonton Oilers to score goals and get it done. They were close last season. This, what I'm seeing this season, it is not sustainable. They are giving up far too many goals still to be a team that makes a run. They need to figure that out because right now they're sitting at tied for fifth in the NHL with most goals allowed. They give up a crooked amount per game at over 3.3 goals. That's even wrong. 3.5 goals against per game. They're a pretender right now, Steele. Unless they make a move, unless Evander Kane comes back and makes a huge impact, or one of those goalies takes the crease for their own, I don't know what you think about this, but this Edmonton team continues to pretend, in my opinion.
Well, I was looking at the Edmonton Oilers, but I ended up going with the other Alberta team for a pretender. The Calgary Flames, to me, have been way worse than the Edmonton Oilers. 9-9-3 record so far this season. For me, the only reason they're worse is because we expected so high of them this upcoming season. Their blue line was better.
You know,
they got a lot in return after trading Matthew Tkachuk. You get Jonathan Huberdeau. You get Mackenzie Weegar. Jakob Markstrom has not been the guy so far this season. His stats are very underwhelming. They're at the bottom of the league goals for. They don't even have a single player in the top 100 for points so far this season. Elias Lindholm leads their team with 16 points. Kadri right behind him with 15. So for
not good enough.
It's very underwhelming. Not good enough. I think with the Edmonton Oilers, they can get as far as Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl take them. We saw that last season. If they can add something before the deadline, who knows what might happen. But for me, because of the expectations with the Calgary Flames, they've just been a huge letdown.
Most definitely. I think you could throw both of these teams in the pretender column at this point. So I'm fine with both of these takes. The other thing, too, I'll say about the Edmonton Oilers, and I think you and I have talked about this a little bit off air, when it comes to getting it done in the playoffs, you have to be elite on special teams. You have to capitalize on your chances with the extra man, burn the other team, and you have to be able to kill penalties. This Edmonton Oilers team is killing penalties at only a 73% clip. That's worse than the Philadelphia Flyers. So if you have Jack Campbell and Stuart Skinner doing their thing right now, and you have a team that kills penalties worse than the Flyers, I'm sorry. If you think you're a cup contender, you're on my pretender list. Along with a team that you and I talked about at the start of the year, Steele, the Florida Panthers. They haven't looked good. Another team giving up way too many goals. They have the Matthew Tkachuk edition come in. They have a lot of money invested into Sergei Bobrovsky. They have probably a better goalie behind him in Knight. I don't know what's going on in Florida right now, but until they figure it out, and again, we're at the quarter pole of the NHL season, so Steele and I's contender from pretender conversation might need to happen again in about January. But right now, this Florida team, Steele, is looking more like a pretender than a legitimate contender ready to go on a run. I just need to see some more from that blue line. I know they've had their injuries, but I need to see more from both goaltenders. I know Spencer Knight was picking up steam, but I think this team at 10-8-3 can be a lot better.
Yeah, that was another team I was looking at as well from the Eastern Conference, but I ended up actually going with the New York Rangers for a pretender, and that is really disappointing for me because,
slow down.
I had some high hopes for this Rangers team, and again, we're only 2 months in the season. I had them being the President Trophy trophy winners. I don't think that's realistic at this point anymore, and for me, they just don't seem like a legitimate threat. They get most of their goals. It seems like on the power play unit from Mika Zibanejad or Artemi Panarin, besides their top five guys of Panarin, Zibanejad, Fox, Trocheck, and Kreider, they're getting absolutely zero scoring from anywhere else. DeAndre Miller has 0 goals, 4 assists. Ouch. Jacob Trouba, 0 goals, 5 assists. Alexi Lafreniere, 10 points. Capo Kako, 8 points on the season. It's really only that top line that is getting things done so far. Igor Shesterkin looks pretty decent, but as of right now, it looks like Ilya Sorokin's the best goaltender in the league. So for me, it's just been very, very disappointing so far this season for the Rangers.
This is an interesting little dichotomy of a situation here, my friend, because you have the Seattle Kraken as a contender. You have a team that went to the Eastern Conference Final.
I know.
and I have them switched. And I'm going to call you out on your point about chirping my New Jersey Devils for being a young team. Now you're putting the youngest team in the league, arguably, in the Seattle Kraken in the contender column. We're going to have to revisit this conversation because I'll say this about the Seattle Kraken. I'm not going to take away anything from the one of the hottest teams in the league right now. And everything you said at the start of the show is accurate about this team. And thank you for shouting out Andrei Burakovsky. We're going to get the big time bets in a hot second. The Seattle team is not going to be able to sustain this kind of success. With
That's
the good
what a lot of people are saying.
With the good teams behind them in that division and the goaltending they have. I'm sorry. All credit due to what's happened so far. Martin Jones is not taking a team anywhere. Philip Grubauer maybe is that guy. I understand, again, I can't take away from what he's done. You mentioned his underlying numbers not being great. Martin Jones is not a team number one goalie on a contender. That's where it starts and ends for me. But for now, you're looking spot on because they are definitely in the mix in that division. That is for sure.
Well, I don't think they're that far off. You know, we're talking about the teams in the division. We both have the Edmonton Oilers and Calgary Flames on the pretender list, in that division. In the Pacific Division, the Vegas Golden Knights are at the top, I believe. And yep.
They have the Kings in there too.
The LA Kings are right there in third, who have been very streaky as well. I really like the Seattle Kraken. I know a lot of people are very hesitant to say that they're going to be a contending team. And because that they can't sustain this type of momentum moving forward, I really like what the team is, the organization has put in front of them in their lineup and in their roster. And they're getting things done right now.
Don't count out a team only 7 points back in those Vancouver Canucks as well. And I'm going to talk about them around the corner in big time bets. So Steele can chirp me a little bit more.
I might have to, but first we got to thank everyone out there for making the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast your first listen every single day. Please make sure you hit the subscribe, hit the follow button, and stay tuned for big time bets, which comes up right now. Flip, what is your first pick of the night? I know you were alluding to the Seattle Kraken and Andrei Burakovsky.
Let's start there because Andrei Burakovsky was one of, in my Keeper Dynasty League, again, shout out to Hootenanny. He was one of my top picks this year. He also has dual position eligibility in a lot of leagues, being able to play both wings. 7 goals, 14 assists, a point per game player so far, 17 minutes of ice time. He has been getting it done, and I really, really like this kid's game. 6'3", 200-plus pounds. He is one of those prototypical guys. Little sneaky Steel. I like his game because he doesn't do too much craziness. It's kind of steady Eddie, and I like that in the fantasy realm. Also, how about 3 goals and 3 assists over his last 3 games? Give me the Andrei Burakovsky anytime point. Kraken at Kings. Both teams tend to score a lot of goals. The Kraken for sure on an 8-1-1 heater. Andrei Burakovsky, I'm so glad you brought him up because I had to show him some love. A great season so far and picking up steam. I'll take the anytime point, my first pick of the night.
And that's exactly where I'm leading off to. I'm going to that Kraken Kings game. I'm taking the Kraken on the money line at plus 115 versus the Kings. They've just been really steady the last 10 games. Like I said, 8-1-1, 5-game win streak in. And as I mentioned, they're getting it from every single player on the ice. It doesn't matter if they're on the first or the fourth line, or if it's a defenseman and Vince Dunn or Jamie Oleksiak or Adam Larsson stepping in, chipping in every now and again. And like I said, Martin Jones's numbers are underlying. Phil Grubauer's back in the lineup from the injuries. They can get it done as well. So I've got the Kraken on the money line plus 115.
And I mentioned, you know, not to circle back, but I mentioned a little bit about a couple of these teams over the last couple of seasons in the playoffs making a run with a team that you might not expect. You know, I mentioned the Montreal Canadiens. Looking at this blue line steal in Seattle, it reminds me a lot of just a little bit of everything. Adam Larsson, Vince Dunn, Jamie Oleksiak, and Justin Schultz as your top four might not look great on paper. But all four of those guys bring a different dimension to the game. A little bit of size, a little bit of grit, a little bit of offense, a little bit of reliability. Those are the kinds of blue lines that you can go on runs for. So I'll give you your credit there. I'm still calling them a pretender. But a situation that I can't ignore, and I think one thing that I've done pretty good this season is my over-unders and highlighting some situations where you need to be hammering that total. Carolina at Pittsburgh is where I'm headed for my second pick steal. This might be an unpopular one at first glance. Carolina's 7 of their last 8 games have gone under the total. 7 of the last 9 games between these two teams have gone under the number, and I'm expecting a goaltending battle tonight. Give me the Carolina at Pittsburgh under 6. I'm getting plus money right now as well at plus 107 because it's only at 6. The last 3 games for each of these teams has gone well under the number. My pick, second pick, under 6 in that Carolina-Pittsburgh game.
You've been loving the unders so far this year, and they've quite honestly been hitting for you every often. The overs have been pretty good as well so far this season for you. Going over to the Western Conference again.
I like
Avalanche versus the Winnipeg Jets. I'm taking the Avalanche on the puck line. It's going to be some good odds there. Avalanche on the road. The Jets coming off a 7-2 win against the Blackhawks. So the odds should be pretty good on the puck line. We don't have them as of just yet, but they will be released before the game starts on our Twitter account.
You know you can find all the latest, all of our picks, all of our thoughts, and breakdowns on our Twitter. Steele's also firing out these YouTube shorts, people. Your quick hits for all the fantasy daily news that you need. So make sure you are smashing that subscribe button so you don't miss any of Steele's hot takes. He'll be dropping those every couple days. So head out there and check him out. My lock of the night, Steele. We've done a really good job of drawing these segments together. You mentioned the Vancouver Canucks. We mentioned that division and the teams behind the Seattle Kraken. What I've seen over the last 3 games from the Vancouver Canucks is almost a complete 360 on what I saw from the start of the year. Not only are they scoring and playing better defense, they're beating good teams. 4-3 against the Colorado Avalanche. 5-1 neat and tidy against the Vegas Golden Knights. And the San Jose Sharks haven't been that bad this season either. I understand they're the Sharks. 4-3, that's a 3-game heater coming into this matchup at home against the Washington Capitals. The Caps are 7-2-1 against the Vancouver Canucks over the last 10. This is a bang-out situation for a Canucks team that hasn't got nearly enough credit. Besser is starting to roll. We know Horvat's going. Your boy Thatcher Demko's starting to play a little bit better. Backup goalie's also okay. You brought him up. Yeah. Spencer Martin looking pretty decent. Let's hammer the Canucks tonight on the money line at home against a bad road team in the Washington Capitals. Minus 117 right now is a gift. Go out there and hammer it. We'll tweet out the updated odds like we said. I'm loving this spot for the Canucks, Steele, and I'm all kinds of fired up.
That was a game and a matchup that I was looking at, and if I had to choose this game, I would be leaning towards the Vancouver Canucks as well. So I really do like that you brought that team up. But I'm going back to the Eastern Conference. My lock of the night, it's the New York Islanders on the money line against the Philadelphia Flyers, minus 165. They just won their last game against the Flyers 5-2. So you could even go on the puck line to get some better odds, but because of how – you know, this is John Tortorella coaching behind the Flyers bench right now. We know that he's going to get his team moving and going in this game, especially just losing to them recently. I'm going to stay a little bit more safe on this one. My lock of the night, the Islanders on the money line. Flips, lock of the night, the Vancouver Canucks on the money line against the Washington Capitals. Those are our bets. Those are our locks of the night. Thank you so much for making the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast your first listen every single day. Remember, please check out Locked On Sports Today Podcast, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcast. And thank you so much for tuning in for today's episode with Flip and I. Have a great day. Good luck with all your bets out there. And we shall see you back here again tomorrow.
Peace.